Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, January 9th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri. And we're going to have a discussion about religion this morning. It's going to be a specific discussion because I want to talk about the beginning. It's the new year. I want to talk about the beginning. I want to talk about Adam. I want to talk about Eve. I'm going to have a series of shows about scripture. No, this is not going to be a religious show per se, but it could be Christian based. Some people say, Nuri, you tend to be controversial, so I'm watching you. What you trying to say? What you trying to do? Today, I have Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, PhD, doctor of religion. He'll give his correct title of doctor of religion. He went to school for this, PhD. And he is the Cahoon. You might say, what's a Cahoon? He is the Cahoon of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. You hear me right, Aaron? Aaron is with me too. There's a Black Messiah. Now, people already start texting me, say, what you mean? This controversial, what you mean? The Messiah being black? What you mean Coptic Church? What you mean Cahoon? And who is this Dr. Cleveland Aeneas? Right? And what can he say about Christianity that the regular PhD doctors or them reverend doctors who don't have a PhD degree, right? Just get inspired, can say about religion and how he's going to explain the beginning. That's what my conversation is going to be about because I want to talk about the beginning, but a different story. An alternative story, because I have the book here, no Genesis, and the book is clear. But the book can't be clear because we have alternative messages, alternative stories. And I say, man, I want to entertain this alternative story in order to get the truth. The Bible said at the end, our Lord will pour out his spirit on all people, and we will get the truth. So today, I have Cleveland Aeneas.
The third,
better known as Uncle Sarah, right? We explained that name too. And of course, I have Aaron Green with me. He's going to help me with this conversation. And we're talking about Adam. Apparently, there has been three Adams. I'm not sure if you knew that, Aaron. Do you know that it's three Adams?
You don't understand science.
Yeah?
There's a bunch of Adams.
Not atoms. Adam. Like Adam sure? And Eve. Adam.
Okay.
And I want to know who these Adams are. Right? Mm-hmm. So let me introduce Cleveland Aeneas III. He's here as Cahoon. And quickly explain how you got this PhD, just for the listening audience. So, and the reason why, and forgive me for this, the reason why I want to start from there is because your church is different. And because it is different, and turn up Uncle Mike. I don't hear him on my earpiece as yet. Please. Right? Go say something again, Uncle.
One, two.
Okay good. Mm-hmm. And because your church is different, I want to establish, for lack of a better word, your authority to speak on such a subject.
Well, tell us your church. What is it, the framework?
Yes.
And the foundation?
Sure. And his degree.
So I get to all of that. So good morning, or good yawning, as we say sometime, right?
Mm-hmm. To the originals.
Yes, indeed. So just a bit of my education background. I went to Tuskegee University. That's before I went to Kingsway. Let me go to Kingsway. I went to Kingsway up until 10th grade, and then I went off to boarding school, to the Bowles School, where I graduated. I went off to Tuskegee University, where I studied biology. And then I went to seminary, the Holy Coptic Church, mm-hmm. Affectionately called the Q. I spent 5 years within the Q to become a pastor. So from 2004 to 2009, I was ordained in 2009 as a pastor. And then it took another 3 years of executing what I had learned over those 5 years to become a Calhoun. I've been a Calhoun here in the Bahamas, or the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah has been in the Bahamas since May 8th of 2010. But it's not a new church. I know people may not be familiar with it, but it is the resurrection of the original church, whereby this church 3,500 years ago was being resurrected by one called Ankh An Atun. So any seminary-trained priest would have learned about who they refer to as the first monotheist, or what they call Akhenaten, all right? This Akhenaten, or who we know as Ankh An Atun, he is the father, let me first say he's the husband, who they refer to as Nefertiti, and also he had another wife called Kaya. He and Kaya had a son called Tutankhamun, who they call King Tut. This King Tut is the amen that's referenced in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, where they call Jesus the amen. He is the Yahshua of 3,500 years ago. This church that was being resurrected 3,500 years ago was established by the original crucified Savior mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, as well as Revelation 11 and 8, where they talk about a Messiah who was slain at the foundation of the earth. This Messiah's, or this crucified Savior, is called Asaru, or in Psalms verse 121, or chapter 121, they talk about my help comes from the Lord. This word help is the word Azar. The word Lazarus, they talk about this Lazarus who was brought from the dead, or brought out of his grave. That word Lazarus in the original language is El Azar. So this original crucified shepherd had a doctrine, and that doctrine was symbolized by what today they would refer to as a cross. The Messiah would say, pick up your cross and follow me. That cross was the matriculation through four schools, A-N-K-H, Anu, Nut, Chemenu, and Hetketa. These four cities you had to matriculate through in order to receive this cross, or Ankh, as the first letters of each of these cities spells the word Ankh. This Ankh represents today in the education system the associates, the bachelors, the masters, the PhD. So my PhD is predicated on the doctorate level that goes beyond Europe. Europe didn't start giving PhDs until the 12th century. The Pope had to sanction the first PhD, which was given in France, right? The Holy Coptic Church goes way before that, all right? And our scriptures that we're going to be delving into today go way before the European version of scriptures.
Okay, I see you, Aaron. I see you eager to jump in. However, Dr. Ennis is using my Bible to sanction his belief.
Mm-hmm. I've been sitting here as a good woman. Let's just listen in. I just want to interject and say, if you were listening, though.
Use my Bible. You won't hear me using my Bible?
He used a Bible that you were familiar with.
Yeah.
But obviously has an older root than you were aware of.
I had the older root he mentioned, an African root. Can anything good come out of Africa?
Everything came out of Africa.
And I want to know, how can he use my Jewish Bible, my Abrahamic Bible?
Here's a question for you.
To solidify his claim that that's the original religion.
Have you ever asked who used the Coptic Bible to create the Abrahamic story?
Does that start from there?
I love it. So you bring up some very important points. Anytime you start talking about the Bible, we as a people often claim the Bible that we were first introduced to as our Bible. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when we are reading our Bible, we normally shoot right past the title, not even the title page, the cover of the Bible that we call our Bible, and we miss the part that says King James Version, which automatically should let you know it's not your Bible. Number one, it's not the Bible. It is a version of the Bible. So we've never really read the Bible. We're reading versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So that should be alarming to anybody who is concerned about their ever-living soul when it comes to reading any scripture. You should be able to justify why that particular scripture is considered scripture.
You're trying to say the King James Bible ain't the Bible?
I'm saying King James, who also wrote the book Demonology, wrote the Bible.
And he wrote Demonology first.
Yes.
But more importantly, that it is called a version should lead you to ask, what is it a version of?
Ah, thank you. Yeah. So there had to be an original. The fact that you read the Bible and you don't see the word Bible in the Bible should also cause you to raise an eyebrow. How do you know you're reading the Bible?
They tell me it's the Bible.
Because they told you it's the Bible, exactly. The word Bible, however, it's not in the Bible as the word Bible. You can find it when you look up the word book. But this word book or biblion or biblos goes back to the interpretation of it is Egyptian papyrus. So the original Bible, and you can if you have a King James Zondervan Key Study Bible, they talk about, and I have a copy of it here, but they talk about these ancient texts relating to the Old Testament. They say major representative examples of ancient Near Eastern non-biblical documents that provide parallels to or shed light on various Old Testament passages. So there are non-biblical records, as they're being referred to, that parallel what is being called the versions of the Bible today, which if we are turning our brains on and really wanting to get to the message of the Messiah to the world, we should then understand that there is a parallel doctrine, the version of the original is a plagiarization or a form of cultural diffusion whereby our original records are precisely being used against us the same way that we are being accused of using the King James Version to justify our scriptures. It happened, this identity theft happened to us first. We use the King James Version to explain what it is we're talking about because that's frankly where most people are at. If I came in here with the original books of the Bible and it had no reference or no relation to the King James Version, I'd say, well, I'm in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's your Bible. You understand?
I have a caller here, and I'm a little concerned with callers now because I'm into this because I want to know if you're talking about that. I'm a cool tick. What apocrypha? Where'd that go?
So there's a difference between the Coptic Church, which is C-O-P-T-I-C, and the Coptic Church, which is Q-U-B. T-I-C.
Correct.
Let's go to the caller, because I want to talk, too.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning to y'all. Good morning.
Thank you for your patience.
Good morning to your guests. Hey, so what about the white, every church is you get the white, blonde, blue-eyed, what they call Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a youth growing up in the Bahamas, you know, I went to the Anglican church, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you respect your parents. But as I get older, man, you know, I don't really follow that tradition now. You know, I give thanks to everybody. I believe there's a higher power, okay? There is a higher power. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but the Christian religion was forced onto our ancestors, right? Just like the voodoo religion with most Haitians, that's a form of religion. But who said that was bad? The white masters tell us that was bad. Even in Cuba, they sacrificed the Santa Maria. They tell us that is wrong. But when our ancestors came from our religion, they own God. You know, I'll never say that there's no God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They want to tell us, you know, Christianity and all that stuff was formed under the slavery. They wanted all the white masters. They brainwashed our ancestors, man. You know, I mean, it's so hard, you know, when people, I talk to people about it, they say, oh, you don't believe in no God. I never say I don't believe in no God. I believe that there is a higher power. Somebody wakes me up every morning, put me to sleep, bring me up. But the worship that blonde, blue-eyed, I don't follow that tomorrow. I give thanks every morning to the Most High. You feel me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much, caller.
And that's why it was so important for us to have the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. We had to make that
point.
What
you mean by Black Messiah?
Putin, yeah. Even Vladimir Putin knows about, acknowledges, and endorses that it is a Black Messiah.
Where y'all getting this Black Messiah word from?
Well, let's look at the book. Let's let Scripture talk. So Revelation chapter 1, all right? If we start at verse 14, all right? It says, his head, and let me go back, just so people don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Verse 12, it says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. So this is not the Messiah, but this is someone who looks like the Messiah, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head, verse 14, and his hairs were white like wool. So first of all, we have white, like how I have white in my beard and hair, and CA also, right? I don't know, you have some white too, right?
A couple of
words. But this white, it didn't stop at white, it said white wool. So we have woolly hair. Then it says this wool is woolly and as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. Or the sclera, or that's white part, is reddish. And then it said, verse 15, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we're saying Black Messiah.
That's your uncle. That's my uncle.
This brass, that not only fine brass, as if burnt in a furnace. Anything burnt, you understand, is on its way to black. You see? So we're not saying Black Messiah to be facetious or to be controversial. We're saying Black Messiah because it's the truth based on Scripture.
So you're saying you believe, your religion believe, the Coptic Church believe the Messiah black? He has a color?
We understand that there is a lineage that's based on the fact when we go to Genesis, because you're talking about the beginning now. When we go to Genesis chapter 1, and this they use the word God, but the word God wasn't there. The word God is, that's a German word, all right? That comes from the word gut, that goes back into an epithet of Indra, all right? A Hindu god, right? So it really doesn't have anything to do with us. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. So God has an image. But the word God isn't there. The word Elohim is there in the Hebrew, which ultimately comes from Nataru Elohim, all right? And this Nataru Elohim, or this group of beings, it said, after our image, so our, it's a group. It's not one person.
Mm-hmm. But you're trying to say God is more than one, the Elohim is more than one?
I didn't say that. The scripture said that.
And also note that he said that they replaced the word Elohim with God. God having a much later origin and being attributed to a European understanding of ancient Indian culture.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it inside the Hebrew Bible, though.
No, hold on. Say the first part. You don't see it inside the King James Version.
Okay.
And you may not see it in modern iterations of the Hebrew Bible, but both version and modern iterations suggest that something came before and that these are modified versions of that something.
I see you, Kwame. I'm coming to you shortly, but continue.
So image is key. So that's the first thing that we received from, I'm going to use the word God for the sake of the listeners, right? The first thing God gave us was image and likeness, all right? And that image and that likeness had to be male and female, because in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? Now, this is where we get into your Adam. When we go into the Strong's Concordance, I'm using the Blue Letter Bible. If you have your
phone.
What
is the Blue Letter Bible?
So the Blue Letter Bible is an online Bible. It's not the Coptic Church's Bible. It is a Bible anybody can use. You can literally go online right now as we're on the air. Go to Blue Letter Bible. I think it's .org.
What's the difference between this and my King James Version?
The difference with this is that it actually allows you to research the words so that you can see what it is that was there before the English. All right. It doesn't take you back to the very, very, very beginning, but it gives you some insight. All right. So this word man. All right. It says, so God created man. Now, the word man isn't there. The word Adam is there.
Wait. So God didn't create man. He created Adam.
So now we got to think how it said. Let's read it the way it could be read. So God created Adam in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So this Adam is not only male.
Yeah.
All right. And we can further confirm that in the book of Genesis chapter 5 where it says male and female created he them and called their name Adam.
I want you to pause you here because I have a caller who's been holding for a while and I want you to continue nonstop. Mm-hmm. So let me squeeze the caller in and then you continue again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
And good morning, Mr. Cleveland grandbaby and
yes, Christy. Remember we have limited time. We have limited time, so ask your questions quickly.
I know. I want, instead of 30 seconds, I want 60 this time. 1 minute.
No, I ain't having 1 minute.
See, that's Christy baby boy living right across from the Southern Recreation Ground. It's Sparky.
Make it quicker, Sparky.
Yeah, okay, but give me a minute, though.
No, it ain't be no minute. It could be 30 seconds.
So, look here. Hey, Mr. Enos. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, Mr. Enos, you see, I've been talking this, like you've been talking this a long time.
Yes, sir.
But most of these people, like Mr. Nuri, want know where this black come from because he's been brainwashed from the white king.
That's why we had to come here to put some things on the table so he could.
You see, the thing is, he's been brainwashed. So anytime you mention black, they take it's the black cat and the black dog, chocolate cake, and everything black is bad.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see, but they say out of the and even in the Bible it says out of the darkness came the light.
That's right.
It says out of the darkness God made light. This meant God must he was dark.
That's right.
Hello.
Yes, we witches, Sparky.
Mr. Dury, I sat once in George's altar as a little boy in the vestry, kneeling on them steps, serving with those priests and things. If you see some of the things I saw in the back of the vestry before them priests go on the altar, you'll be surprised what we was brainwashed into. Because, see, that's a business. I've been telling Howard Grant them, that church thing is a business. That's where they go off to school and they come back and they make money and they live better than me and you. And we take our 10% and our offering every week to them, for them and the first lady and the second and the third lady, and their children to go off to the best university, come back to be bankers and lawyers while they drive to school in Lexus and so forth, and we walk into church to give them money, or catching a bus to give them money. Man, you giving money to living better than you? You got to be crazy. Have a good day.
Thanks very much, Sparky, for trying to keep that short. Go ahead, Aaron, and we go back to Uncle.
Yeah. No, y'all go on. I being womanish and being rebellious.
Yes.
I even wanted to point out something that came up. Yeah. Cahoon.
Yes.
And I know that word.
Yes.
Why do I know that word? I'm Americanized. Big Kahuna. Mm. And then I remember that Big Kahuna have a meaning in indigenous Hawaiian culture.
Right.
Big Kahuna is the chief. Mm-hmm. Kahuna means priest. Mm. Right? And so when I hear Kahun, I automatically think it must mean priest.
Yeah.
It's two separate indigenous cultures.
It lets you know
the same word.
It lets you know how pervasive the African theology really is. Mm-hmm. See, it's so very pervasive that you'll find it in Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, all right, where all of these were at one. But let's get back to Adam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
And I want to know, because you mentioned it, but I want to go back to Adam. The Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, is this a Christian religion?
It is a true Christian religious identity. So it's important to mention that, all right? What is the difference between a true Christian and a Christian? A Christian talks about Christ. A Christian follows Christ insofar as they read the Bible. They do their best to, learn about Christ as best they can. Mm-hmm. Yes? No fault there. A true Christian takes it a step further and actually learns, well, how did the Messiah live? I want to live like the Messiah. Did the Messiah follow the Sabbath? Yes. How did he follow the Sabbath? Did the Messiah follow Passover, what we call Pesach Shemot? How did he follow Pesach Shemot? Did the Messiah follow Chanukah? We just came out of the festive period of Chanukah. The Jebusite Jew or the Armenian Jew talks about Hanukkah, but originally it was called Chanukah. The song, The 12 Days of Christmas. We sing this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, but if you ask most people, when are the 12 Days of Christmas? Clueless, because we don't learn that from December 21st to January 1st are the 12 days of Christmas. The first 9 days representing Chanukah. So this Messiah had a way of life that was an example for us. When he said, pick up your cross, he didn't mean sit there and watch me get beat up and put on the cross. He meant, no, you're going to pick up your cross and you're going to do what I did. You're going to actually have to go through what I went through. And then in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12, it says, you're going to even do better than I did. You understand? You're going to be like me and you're going to go further than me, because we have to ultimately look at the fact that we have the same breath of life in us that the Messiah has in him.
This, even though you're this true Christian, you said it's independent. It sounds so much like the Hebrew Bible. Why it sounds so much like what I learned in my good Anglican Baptist church?
Because the Anglicans, the Catholics, the Greco-Roman understanding of Christianity is rooted in the African theology. One of the church fathers within the Catholic Church, one known as Augustine of Hippo, he mentions that there is a Christianity before Christ. So this Christianity before Christ, he was mentioning this in the 4th century, but he was talking about a Christianity that was 10,000 years before the 4th century. How can this be confirmed? In the British Museum today, they have what's called the Shabaka Stone. The Shabaka Stone represents the same Hebrew Bible that they want to refer to it as. This African text, which is on stone, has your Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc. But in the original context, we didn't have Genesis. We had Bereshith. So today's show is not on Genesis. Today's show is on the Bereshith. This word Bereshith represents or means a replenishment. Genesis chapter 1 was not the beginning. It is in the beginning.
We can talk about that, because apparently at the beginning and in the beginning is two different times.
If the show starts at 11 o'clock sharp. If it starts in the 11th hour, that could be 11:10, 11:30, 11:45. So where were we? At which point in the beginning were we? That is how, when we start to talk about the atom and these different atoms, we begin to understand that.
Ask a question before the break? Or you want to ask? Go ahead, ask your question.
I just put my hand up.
You're just excited.
Excited.
Yes.
Yeah. So the story of the Adam and Eve may not be the first creation story.
It couldn't have been the first one, because they were told to replenish the earth. If you're being told to replenish something, then what are you? If you're in a restaurant and you ask the waiter to replenish my drink, but you never ordered, they'd be like, well, what were you drinking? You weren't drinking anything. If you were having a Vitamalt, then they would say, and you said replenish my drink, they know what to bring. You understand?
Yep.
So the fact that the Bible is telling that the first commandment to be fruitful, be multiply and replenish the earth means this couldn't have been the first Adam and Eve.
We got to take a short commercial break. We're going to take a short commercial break. We have Dr. Cleveland Enius III with us. He is the Cahoon of the Holy Coptic, I hope I pronounce it Coptic.
Yeah, you're
right.
Doing very well.
A Church of the Black Messiah, right? We're talking about the three Adams. He just gave a revelation regarding at the beginning and in the beginning. And the idea that in the beginning, this maybe third or fourth Adam, which Adam was at in the beginning? Which Adam is what you think?
In the beginning would be the second Adam.
So in the beginning, this Adam came with Eve, but I ain't the one at the beginning. But anyway, let me read this. It says, the NASA crews port and Zaymar production presents Phil Stubbs live this January 13th. Also performing is Nishi LS and Iris Store and the Spank Band. Tickets are $50, general admission $75 VIP, available at bahamasetickets.com. Also at the Plantation Bar and Grill, Caves Heights, and Miniso. The Japanese store in the mall, right? Doors open at 7 p.m. and showtime is at 9 p.m. This is this Saturday. Doors open again at 7 p.m. and showtime starts at 9. Of course, again, we're talking to Uncle Sarah. We'll take the short break. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at bahamasetickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have Dr. Clement Inyas III with us, who is the Cahoon, which is different from pastor, right?
Right.
From the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. The whole conversation is about the three Adams. That's why I brought him here to say, man, there's three different Adams. And he's getting into that story. It's going to be a series.
Yeah.
I plan to invite him in. So if we don't finish today, we will just keep on inviting him until we figure out. I was told in a story once upon a time that the earth was destroyed several times. I'm not sure if we'll discuss that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was told that, and I think you hinted towards it, that God is the Word, but is different from the Creator. And when I mentioned that one time, I say blasphemy, which God is the Creator, and Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit is one. And I'm from what I was referencing, is saying that Creator created God or the Elohim that you mentioned, right? This group at the beginning, and that God, the Elohim grouping, replenished, revitalized the earth in the beginning. And that's what I was told. I'm not saying that it's true.
That's not wrong.
And I'm going to let you explain that because I want to talk about this Adam, the three Adams.
Right.
But explain what I said just now, so if you heard anything like that.
The difficulty that we as human beings, we as humanity are faced with is language. We often confuse the word God with the Most High. God is not the Most High.
What you mean God is not the Most High? It's the same thing, eh?
No. It's not the same thing. Even linguistically, you would see the word Elyon or Elyon. This Elyon would represent the Most High versus Elohim. All right? The Elohim are a part of Elyon. All right? So they'll talk about, in the language, you would see the word El, then you would see Elo, and you would see Eloah, and you see Elohim. All right? You would see a singular. You would see a duality. You would see a trinity or more than a duality. And then anything three or more would be Elohim. So this is why the language is key. In the beginning was the word. So we got to go back to the word. We got to go back to the language to appreciate what scripture was ultimately supposed to, the message that we were supposed to receive. If we don't get into the language, then we're basically just, as we do often, arguing about what our interpretation of a word is versus the actual interpretation of the word.
So in the beginning was the word. We know that the word is Jesus, right? Jesus is the word. So in the beginning of things.
That's not there in the language.
I mean, I can be honest with you. I don't know what version you're reading. Jesus, I heard Lilith was there.
No, in the beginning.
I heard Cain, Abel, Seth.
That in the beginning. In the beginning was the word. The word created Jesus, Lilith, and all those things. The word did that.
Yeah, but I never, and nobody ever talked about Jesus in the beginning, at the beginning, at all.
But the Elohim people, that's Jesus, right?
So the word, so there's several things. Let's unpack it,
yeah.
All right? When we say the word Jesus, you're really talking about a composite being. You're talking about a Jah, Zeus, or Jew, Zeus. Jupiter and Zeus. Zeus being a Greek high god, Jupiter being a Roman high god. So it's talking about the high gods of those who were the dominant culture at that particular time, repackaging their way of life into a religion. They have this. There's an historical reality and there's a religious reality. So this Jesus or Isus, which ultimately means Hail Zeus, takes us off course. It takes us away from the original rendition of this word Yahshua. That word Yahshua is important because at the root of it, you hear the word Shu. That Shu is an angelic principle found in Kemet, or Tamere, which they falsely call Egypt today. That is exactly where the Messiah was sent with his family to be protected from Herod.
Yeah.
So Yahshua takes us on course to where this black Messiah actually comes from, whereas Jesus takes us to the third Adam. All right?
He's still on the first Adam. Yeah. We can't go to the third Adam. I have a caller here, and then let's go back ahead to the first Adam.
Yeah, I'm going
to
tie it in. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good day, Mr. Neri. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And good day to your guests.
Good day.
Cahoon is right on point. I just called to further clarify what he's saying. The word God is a German word, Guten, French word, gut. The gut is from a Sanskrit language. It's not from Greek or Latin, it's Sanskrit. That's what they use over there.
Mm-hmm.
The goot was the smoke that fellas like Adam and, not Adam, I'm Cain and Abel, them put their stuff on, their vegetables and their whatever they put on. The goot was the smoke that took the smell from the sacrifice up to the wherever it was supposed to go so it can reach the nostrils of the Creator. That was the good. That is the good. To further clarify this word, God, there are thousands of gods out there.
Millions.
You got the God of this, the God of that, the Egyptians had the God of that. So wouldn't it be an affront to the Almighty Creator that you call Him God, the same thing you call thousands of other gods out there?
But when He is the one true God, though? One true one. He's the one true God.
Pardon me?
He's the one true God.
Yeah, but then you see, you got to, like Cahoon is teaching you, you have to know the origin of the word, where it comes from, in order to use it correctly. English language is the most difficult language in the world to use, and we've borrowed a lot of stuff from the different languages, from Greek, from Latin, from the Sanskrit, and we don't know the origin of the word. And that's what I call for you now, to show you the origin of the word God.
Okay.
Thank you.
You understand? We got Lord this, Lord that. We got the God of this, the God of that. The Romans had the God of this. The Indians got the God of that. So wouldn't it be an affront now, if you were the Almighty God, to call you God, Mr. Neri? That would be an affront. But why are you calling me all of them things? Them pagan things. So you listen to Cahoon. Cahoon is on the right track.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I know that Kanye West says he's a God.
Well,
but go ahead. Sorry,
and that's a whole other show, yes. Right? Because you can find that in Scripture too. Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. The Messiah was saying that we were gods. This is why the God and the Most High, as the caller just said, is not the same. But let's stay focused.
Okay. Let's stay focused. Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That okay, I can say I'm a god without a god, without disrespecting, because he's more than a god.
Right, because...
And he's told us that I'm a god, right? I just want for people who...
Psalms 82 talks about this, where it mentions the fact, and I'll just read it quickly so people who may have their notebooks. Anytime you come to these shows, it's helpful to have a notebook and have your Bible so that it can actually mean something to you later. In Psalm 82, verse 6, it says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So there's a distinction right there.
God isn't the Most High.
You see? It's right here in Scripture.
No, a God.
Yeah.
A God isn't the Most High.
Correct. Mm. Correct. So language, again, is mostly what it is that we have difficulties with. When I say, well, I don't agree with what Nuri or Green saying, I believe this. If we all sat down and talk like this, we'd find out principally what you said, I agreed with. But I then had to stop and say, yeah, but God and Most High is not the same. Mm-hmm. But it's this idea of, yes, there is a principal force. But that principal force, which is called Enere, this Enere is mentioned in the English in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, called the I Am. You understand? The word God was never supposed to be used. If you read Exodus 3, I just want to make sure we all on the same page, and then we're going to get into Adam, right? But Exodus 3, Moses has this experience with a burning bush, and he wants to know who he's talking to. So in Exodus 3, if we start at verse 13, and Moses said unto God, so first of all, whoever was writing this was already being disingenuous, because you're calling the being God before we get the being's name, all right? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come, this is Exodus 3 and 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? He wanted the same question. Everybody said, what's the name? And God said unto Moses, see, that's disingenuous. How could you say, and God said...
How would you know
his name? You don't know the name.
If he hasn't told it to you yet.
And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent unto you, not God. And God... See, and then they go back to God. Mm-hmm. And I am said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am. But this word I am, in the Hebrew, you'll see the word Eini. In the cuneiform form, you'll see Enea. In the Tamaraic, or the ancient African Egyptian language, you will see Ane or Enere. So when we say Enere, we're going back to the I am in the original language.
I see the connection of all of these, the connectivity in all these different groupings. How all these different groupings get the same connection? So how they get to see the same story?
The confusion comes when, in the 4th century, the Greco, you have Alexander the Greek, that they call Greek. Okay, he comes into they welcomed him in to what they call Egypt, because they were being ruled by the Persians. So they saw him as a way of getting away from the Persians. He came into a city called Rakota, which he then named Alexandria. And they created a library, as they would say, because they were stealing books and compiling them, a library, right? And what they were doing was they were looking at the scriptures of the people that they wanted to control. They were looking at the scriptures of the indigenous people, because in order to strike a people down, you must strike them at the highest point, their spirituality. Okay? The problem we have in this country today is we have not identified a true religious identity. We are still following remnants of a true religious identity. That's a whole nother show, right? But Alexander the Great, he ultimately and his writers, they put together the Greek Torah or Septuagint, all right? That Septuagint is a Greek version of the Chewbacca stone. And that's a very simplified way of explaining it. It doesn't happen just as quickly as that, as I just said. But for the sake of time, the original Chewbacca stone, it becomes the Septuagint. And then later on, the Romans come along and they put together the Latin Vulgate and their New Testament. All right? When they did that, they combined the stories or the records of all of the people that they ultimately were either invading or had records of and made it one scripture.
I have one more caller.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, even though we haven't reached an Adam yet, because
mm-hmm.
I want you to go back now, the creation story.
Right.
So I can get to Adam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, who do all the creation things?
Right.
But let's go to this caller first. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Anku on the screen.
Morning, morning.
Good morning, Anku. Brother.
You know, I believe everything you said, and so school may call, and so he was correct also as far as the fusing of the English language with all of the other languages. So here's where, here's what I'd like for you to explain, right? You know, with CNU, he's being facetious probably, but as far as the blackness, we're looking at Africa, Israel, Palestine as being the Sun Belt, right?
Mm.
So obviously the people will be black. So the question then remains, Anku, even if miscegenation under the Arab invasion of Africa was taking place, right, the people...
I don't know what happened.
Hello?
Call back quickly, 52. Some call
but,
back.
And I think I know, and you can call back, but let me just say, we don't even have to go into too much detail to understand that the Israel-Palestine line is in Africa because it is on the tectonic plate that it's on is called the Plateau de Africa. It's on the African tectonic plate. So it's in Africa.
Yeah, Middle East.
Yeah.
Middle East doesn't make any sense, Mr.
There's
Uri.
No Middle West. Yeah. There's no Middle
there's
North.
There's no North East.
Yeah.
There's no
yeah.
Middle no East middle, doesn't make any no. sense. Let's go to the caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Oh, godly days is universal along with you and
Nuri and Miss and Dr. Cleveland Ennius the Third.
Yeah, Namaste. Namaste.
Brother Anku. Namaste.
How are you?
I'm holding, thank God.
Good.
I want you to go back up to a sentence which has memorial in it for me, please. I want to get an understanding with that paragraph. I missed something there. Just go right back up. You know.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I was reading from.
Say it again.
Okay, that's Exodus 3 and 15. It was saying that the name was...
What 3 and what?
Exodus 3 and 15.
Okay.
All right. It's saying that this word I am, this name I am, would be the memorial. This is how we would remember the Most High.
Uncle, we got 5 minutes left.
Yes.
I don't know how deeply we could delve into.
I can leave it with a nice cliffhanger. I can do that because when we were talking about this this man that we said. The word man isn't there. The word is Adam.
Mm-hmm.
When we look up this word Adam, this is again in the blue letter Bible, all right, and God created man. The word man is not there. H120 in the Strong's Concordance. When we go to the Jacinius's Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, all right, this word man, it says perhaps so called from the idea of redness, and then they say compare the Arabs to... The Arabs distinguished two races of men, one red or ruddy, which we would call white, and the other black. But both these races sprung from Adam. It's three. The original,
mm-hmm.
called Adam, one white and one black. The black would be the so-called Hindu. The white would be the so-called Caucasian. The original Adam would be this Adama tribe of ancient Africa. Before the black, before the white, you had this original tribe of Atum, A-T-U-M, which is related to A-T-O-M,
mm-hmm.
the Atum. That's another show,
mm-hmm.
right? But the three Adams are really representing three distinct groups of people. And when you take the story or the records of those three groups and you group it into one book, it causes confusion. And this is why we have the confusion we have today. So this first Adam goes back on this planet 24 billion years ago.
Billion?
Billion.
B?
Billion mm-hmm. with a B. The second atom is 49,000 years ago, roughly. And the third atom would be anywhere between 8,400 to 6,000 years ago.
So they're different stories.
Much different.
Different records.
Much
different.
Where can we read... Where can we read and learn about the three different stages of creation of Adam?
So if you want to, a lot of the records of this third Adam is what we're presented with. So the records of the Caucasians and their Eden is called Sweden, Southwest Eden, right? And their records you would find in the Edda text. You would find within the Norse writings. And then, of course, their first writings, the Odyssey, etc. So you would find...
Is it possible, right? Because mm-hmm. we talked about the way to strike at a people, to destroy them, to control them, is to at the top, at religion. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that people of European descent, Caucasians, Nordic people, truly believe that their Messiah is the one and true and only God of the planet?
Yes, for them. That's why they'll tell you that the planet is only 6,000 years old. But that couldn't be, because gold is much older than 6,000 years old, right? Yeah. So when they're talking, that's fine. Have your God, but don't make
force
us...
Force it on us.
They don't force it on us. We've been Absolutely. Here much longer than you.
Listen, we are all out of time.
Yeah.
I know you're coming back.
Yeah.
I just want to make this one point to those people who would call and people who would say, oh, those other religions, they do things like sacrifice animals. I just want you all to know the whole country of the Bahamas almost broke down because Bahamians may not have been able to sacrifice their ham and turkey for Christmas, right? And that we too also engage in these practices of sacrifice as a part of our religious cultural practices.
Well, the God, the Black Messiah, if any smoke rising up in the air is a barbecue. We're about to eat.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM. We bring in Uncle Sarah back again. I'm going to make that appointment now for which day he is available.
Yeah, man.
Have a beautiful day.